Hello and welcome in to another episode of Podcast 63. It's season 4, episode 5. The gang is back together. Buck and Lou are back together, which is good because I'm sure all of y'all were tired of my voice last week. Lou, after I heard you got to leave the old Gentile Rafters, so where'd you go on your vacation? You go to like Oracle? Did you stay home for like a staycation in the United Center? Or,
well, so I had to do some research, and I tried to break in up to Madison. I did. I had to go and see if I could sneak in to go see this secret practice or secret scrimmage. And you know, I'm no John Rotstein, so I wasn't able to get in. But I had to make the drive, had to make the journey to go see if we could go get a sneak peek of a first game live.
And even if you didn't get in, we still do have some information on the secret scrimmage, which I know I tweeted about, and I was very excited to talk about here. So we'll definitely be getting into that today. Otherwise, we have two more season previews to do for the Missouri Valley Conference. So we're going to be talking about Northern Iowa and Drake, who seem or might finish in the top portion of the Valley. And then we'll also break down, there was Missouri Valley Conference Media Day was this past week. So just kind of briefly go over that. I think we'll dive deeper when we get like the week before the beginning of the season, when we do Loyalist preview as well, and kind of where that fits. But we'll talk about it a little bit and tell you all how we did in our predictions. So stay tuned. Never forget, always remember, go Blurs.
He passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots off the rim. Brown gets it, scores. It's over. It's over. We won. We won the ball game. Biola won the ball game. Oh, we won 60-58.
And we are back. So let's not beat around the bush here. Let's talk about box score. Like we mentioned earlier on Twitter, we had a source reach out to us and tell us a little bit about the game. So we're going to share what we got for you. As in secret scrimmages, it's often broken. Like they play a game, right? So it's two halves, two 20-minute halves from what we understand. The starters for Loyola were Lucas Williamson, Braden Norris, Keith Clemens, Ahir Ugwak, and Jacob Hudson, who was starting at center. And then for Wisconsin, the five starters were Tyler Wall, Ben Carlson, Stephen Crowell, Johnny Davis, and Brad Davison, who was in his 17th year of college basketball. But yeah, I mean, just right off the bat, Lou, I think we both, when we saw that, we were both like, oh, that's significant, right? Like, Jacob Hudson already starting center. I think we've talked about it. We've seen it in him, but, you know, with Chris Knight transferring over, he's a super, you know, decorated player from the Ivy League. We just didn't know. And for the confidence to have in him to begin with, I think that's really key. Lou, what do you think about Huddy starting?
Yeah. Let's just get to the point of it. He played almost only the last eight games, but he only played about maybe eight games. And that was the kind of the question mark. It's like, oh my gosh, I really like what I see, but is he ready to take the starting role? And I could easily see him put a young guy, and look what happened with Cam. Cam went in at Florida, and again, maybe a different circumstance, but I'd say almost the same caliber of competition. Huddy went in at conference play and then NCAA tournament play, and he stepped up, in my opinion. So I definitely think he earned the recognition to be considered, and we don't know what was going on. Again, you couldn't tell in the open practice if anyone's trying to connect that. There was no indication of who was starters, who were bench. But maybe this summer they really try to work that way and figure it out. And again, this first of secret scrimmages, and maybe we'll see in the next coming weeks with the kind of exhibition game, is this chance of Huddy taking the starting center role. And I don't think he's really taking it from anyone. Like, I definitely think Chris Knight can develop into a good backup. But again, Chris Knight's a little undersized for being a big center. He's probably great for Ivy League. But I really did like a comparison I'll talk about later on from Drew about Chris Knight that I really think can fit his role. So Huddy, I think, though, starting center, I really like it. And there's potential there for even such a high ceiling and his own ceiling. Nothing compared to Cam. I will not be doing that. I think he has his own ceiling to get to.
Yeah, just more about big. So breaking down like how much time they played. So Huddy started, he played nearly 11 minutes in the first half, that is. And the two other guys that we, you know, might be challenging him for big guy minutes, Chris Knight coming off the bench and Tom Welch, they both played about the same time. Chris Knight a little bit more. Chris Knight played almost 7 minutes. Tom Welch just over 6 minutes in the first half. And then in the second half, Hadi played actually a bunch. He played 13 and a half minutes. And then kind of the same thing, Chris Knight and Tom Welch both played over just over 8 minutes. So it's not only that he's starting, but he's also getting the bulk of the minutes, which I think is important. And I think something to just kind of keep our eyes on is Chris Knight and Tom Welch. I'm interested, are they playing together? Are they playing separate? You know, we don't really have those details as of yet, but just kind of odd that they played almost the exact same amount of time. And they're both challenging Huddy for those big guy minutes. Just kind of continuing on, some of the things that some of the like Twitter reports that we saw were that Lucas Williamson had 16 points, Huddy had 12. Those are both true. Ryan Schweiger did not play in this game, according to a couple different reports. He was out with an illness. And then just, I mean, we might as well just kind of break it down. The first half, it shows that Loyola ended up winning just by 1 point in the first half. It was 32-31. Something I saw, it shows that Loyola's biggest lead was just 1 point. And that there was only three lead changes. So I'm pretty sure Loyola was losing like most of the first half. Came back, end up going into half up one. And then the second half is where they really took off. They did end up winning the second half by 14 points. Their largest lead was 17. It looks like they really, like right around the 14-minute mark is where it looks like they might have taken the lead and just kind of run with it. It shows that their largest scoring run was 9 points. I mean, just kind of trying to give you, like, from what we can understand is, like, how the game flow went. They did win, I guess, overall then by 15. Going from there, some of the box score highlights that we have. Lucas finished with 16 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 steals, and no blocks. Which pretty much, I mean, that's what we want to see out of Lucas. Braden, a little quiet game for him. Only 5 points, no rebounds, 3 assists, no steals, no blocks. Keith Clemens, also a little quiet game. 3 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist. Clemens didn't play all that much, like, overall. I think he played a total of 13 minutes. He did start, so I think he's kind of still, I mean, he's always had like a knee problem, ankle problem, so I think he's just kind of, they're probably just kind of limit him a little bit. But Ugwak had 11 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal. Kind of a good game for him for sure. Huddy, 12 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, no steals, 1 block. Chris Knight, 4 points, 3 rebounds, no assists, 1 steal, 1 block. Tom Welch, 5 points, 3 rebounds. Tate Hall, 7 points, 2 rebounds, 4 assists. Marquise Kennedy, 8 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals. And then the other player to get in was St. Thomas, who did record 2 rebounds in just kind of a handful of minutes. That's just kind of the highlights for each individual player. So one of the that stuck out to me, it sounds like Marquise Kennedy had a really good game. We love seeing him get up in the sky for rebounds. And 8.7 rebounds, 2 assists, and 3 steals. I mean, that's just a full box score from him. I think, especially with, like, you know, we only have Huddy, who's our biggest guy. So it's really going to take our guards to rebound this year. And just to see him have 7 rebounds against a, you know, a big team like Wisconsin, that's something that stuck out for me. Lou, what stuck out to you?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, and this is kind of, I don't know if it's our kryptonite or what we got, but it's going to be the guard rotation. And I think that's one of the biggest things we saw just with this box score. Again, one of the first times really can see a team play a rotation, because again, the open practice was our rotation versus rotation. But you saw Keith, and we don't know why, maybe played less minutes, but in both halves, he played less than Marquise. So that was really interesting for me. Braden played longer. So I just think the idea of guards, but also, like you said, with not having really the key big man be the scorer, maybe it is going to be on the guards to really have a plethora of options, whether it's the rebounding, whether it's the scoring. So getting those guys in at rotation was really interesting. I think that's what Drew's going to still have to go up to the chalkboard, or at least just figure out a rotation of what does my guards look like. So I think that's what really stood out for me, just from a minute standpoint, from a pure just box score standpoint. I really liked kind of low turnovers. I think that was kind of interesting. Really, in total, there were 12. Again, I don't know if this was full 40 minutes or whatever, but I really like seeing less small turnovers. And then I think the biggest thing really was just seeing, I think, Lucas just consistently be the most minutes. So he's on the court a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think, for me, it's not even more his offensive kind of minutes. I'm loving him out on the court for defensive purposes mainly.
Yeah.
He is the general of the team, hopefully, that you'll see him guide guys, tell guys where to go off picks. So I think that's the biggest thing for me is like, oh, Lucas is staying out there. And again, you almost saw that in the tournament. Lucas is still out there. So I really do think having a guy like that, a well-seasoned veteran, mm-hmm. really play all the minutes was really great for me. So big things there. Again, guard rotation, but then just play by Lucas is just great to see.
Yeah, on the box score, there's a section that talks about like where they scored their points, and they have like fast break and second chance. Loyola had, let's see, 14 fast break points. You want to know how many Wisconsin had? Zero. Which, you know, who knows? Maybe Wisconsin's working on their half-court offense. I don't know. But, you know, what we do know is Loyola has always had a very good defense, and I think especially now, without, like, Krutwig gone, is your big is going to be, you know, hypothetically more agile and can get back quicker. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Another thing, it looked like Tate Hall had a good game too. He played a bunch of minutes in this. I mean, he played a bunch overall, but second half he actually played the most minutes on the team. But just kind of typical box score for him too, right? Like 7 points, 2 rebounds, 4 assists in a game where like no one really he had the most assists for us with 4. You know, it's nice to see him facilitate a little bit, and who knows if that's just like swing passes or if he's actually facilitating, but nonetheless, good game for him. And Ugwak, 11 points. Some, you know, again, we don't really know how he got him, but it does show, let's see, I'm trying to see if he actually made a 3 here. No, it doesn't look like it. No 3s for... Oh, no, he did. Yeah, he did make 1 in the second half. He made a 3 in the second half, which is good to see. And then... I'm trying to find out if there's anyone else that made more than 1 3. Lucas made 2 threes in the first half.
Yep.
Braden made 1. Tom made 1.
Everyone else made 1.
Yeah, Lucas made another 1 in the second half. Huddy made 1 in the second half. Ugwak made 1. Tate made 1. And Marquise made 1. So
yeah, I'd say just looking at that, one thing, big thing with Tate was second half of this game, Tate played the most minutes.
Yeah.
Which was really interesting to see that. So I love how Lucas plays the most in the first half. Tate, a guy who didn't start, maybe getting the most minutes second half. So really kind of that being able to spread out minutes, I think, is going to be crucial mm-hmm. to the longevity of this team and the quality. A big thing then for me, free throws in the second half were great. Free throws in the first half, 8 for 14. Yeah. I'm going to be at Ugwak. He was 1 of 4. Just get that to maybe 3 of 4, 2 of 4. That would be great. Mm-hmm. Just those are those points there. So... But overall, like you said, though, I really do think everyone played smart. It looks like everyone just really tried to fill in a hole that they can fit well in. Mm-hmm. And I think Drew's just trying to figure out who fits well together, too. That's the other thing. You can practice all the time over the summer, but once you get into a scrimmage and you get into... You got to figure out, okay, who with the ball can be good. Maybe that's what open practice was like. So I really like seeing this. For me, the biggest thing is just... watching everyone get some minutes. And even St. Thomas there at the end, I think that's just, again, with Ryan Swagger not being really playing, that was helpful. And, again, we know Drew really wants to see St. get out there, so it's really interesting to see that.
Yeah, we had talked a little bit. We were wondering, like, if the Wisconsin team was similar to the one we played yep. last year. And, Lou, I know you looked up a little bit. I mean, some of their two best players
yeah,
have
so,
been gone, yeah.
Yeah, no, I absolutely love that. So, yeah, Buck's right. So, to kind of just weigh this scrimmage, right, to the Wisconsin team we played last year, right? So this is actually a very different Wisconsin team. Their top two scorers and probably their top two best players, in my opinion, have both graduated. One, Mika Porter, has gone, and I believe he's either a two-way contract with the Heat right now, so he set himself up really well. So a little just kind of like look at this with a grain of salt if you're comparing it to last year's team. Now, granted, also, Wisconsin had a top recruit not play, and another former top recruit not play as well. So we don't know what that looks like. But really interesting, because I think Micah Porter was pretty much their center, their big guy. Mm-hmm. So when you think about Jacob getting those minutes, Micah Porter was 6'10", so I think they're trying to figure out who their next big guy is as well. So I think for them that was an interesting thing. But yeah, I think Wisconsin, though, is a high-caliber team to play any scrimmage, or even personally any kind of conference or non-conference game against. So being able to get out there and play a team like this, I think, is really a great benefit. Instead of playing potentially a St. Francis, it's kind of an early quick scrimmage, so I really liked it. But definitely a different Wisconsin team than last year, but still a good team.
Yeah, and just a couple notes for the Wisconsin team, because I did have a couple people reach out and ask about like how Wisconsin players did. Johnny Davis was, I think, their leading scorer. He scored 13, from what I can tell. Brad Davison, who I joked about, is in his 17th year, but he really, I think this is his sixth year at Wisconsin.
It has to be. Yeah.
He had 6 in the first half and then 6 in the second half. So he had 12. Ben Carlson, 7 in the second and 3 in the first. So he had 10. As for some other statistics that like stand out, Brad Davison had 6 rebounds total. I think I saw Johnny Davis had 4 assists. But, I mean, I feel like they're kind of similar to us, right? Like, there's not one guy that ever steps up for them. Or at least like, this game. There wasn't one standout guy that really just, like, was head and shoulders. Their rotation does seem kind of strange. I mean, not strange, but they have, like, 4 or 5 guys that play far more than anyone else. Both Johnny Davis and Brad Davison played almost 18 minutes each in the first half, and then 15 minutes each in the second half. So, I mean, it seems like they really were right in their top 5 guys. And then some of their bench guys only got like 5 or 7 minutes each. A couple got 10. But yeah, I mean, so from that standpoint, like, Loyola played their best players more often than we did. But that's one of the things about our team, right, is, like, our depth and our toughness, which some other, like, Twitter accounts and national reporters were talking about, is that we just look tough, right? There's the Sleepers, who they're a podcast. Go give them a follow on Twitter, Sleepers Media, was saying that they actually were able to talk about how Lucas had 16, Huddy had 12, so they obviously must have had the box score some as well. They just said we played 9 players and we were deep and tough. And, you know, that I think that's going to be kind of the mantra for our team. It has been for years. But especially this year, we're going to go 9 deep. And that wasn't even with one of our arguably, you know, top scorers. I think Ryan Schreiger really is going to be one of our, if we need a bucket, like, I think he's going to be one of our go-to guys potentially. So, you know, yeah, Wisconsin fans can say all they want, like, we're missing 2 of our top guys. Well, yeah, I mean, we just lost literally an All-American, and also didn't have our best transfer. So, you know, I just don't like that excuse. I saw that a bunch on Twitter, and I think it's silly. I think it's silly. You know, they're a Big Ten team, we're a Missouri Valley Conference team. So it's like, if you got to resort to that, then, I don't know, recruit better, coach better, right? Like, we beat you by 15, and I understand it's a secret scrimmage and people can be running different stuff and players can be playing or dealing with something else. But at the end of the day, we won by 15 points. I think it's something to be excited about, you know, put it in its proper place. Like you said, Lou, earlier, kind of like grain of salt, but we beat a Big Ten team. And I think this team, you know, we got to kind of keep them to that standard, right? Like, think about them pretty positively and hopefully this helps them get out to a quick start. So there's no bumps in the road, no hiccups early on. I don't know, Lou. Any kind of other thoughts about the box score? About what you're expecting?
Yeah, no. I think what I'm expecting really is going to be just kind of not a struggle, but just a no. It's not going to be clear, in my opinion, right now what the rotation for guards' time is going to be. Mm-hmm. I think we know the starters. But it's just going to be interesting in situations who you go to. Hey, come on now. If you think of Marquise Kennedy, look at the Bradley game. There's no way we win that game with the first, I think it was the first, yeah, the first game without his play in the second half. So it really, even Porter had to figure that out. So I think when you have so many talented guards, it's going to be a little bit of a struggle, but I think also you're excited because you're like, damn, I would love to play all these guys. So, and then the biggest thing for me is Jacob Hudson our starting center? I guess we'll find out come opening night, or maybe the exhibition. But again, I'm excited though for the rest of the guys. And I'm just really excited to see a scrimmage on the books.
Last stat, it looks like we held Wisconsin to just around 33% shooting. So that's just more kind of fuel to the fire about how our defense is pretty good. In each half, it was actually really close. I think the first half was 10 to 26, and the second was like 9 to 27 or something. So very similar. But yeah, I think that should kind of do it for that, at least. You know, I wish we had video, but we were lucky enough to be able to have the box score, which is great. You know, actually, I was thinking, so we have some kind of live basketball to talk about this episode, right? Like, you know, at least box scores. Next episode, we won't have any live basketball to talk about. But then the following episode, we will have played our exhibition game on November 3rd. So next week's podcast is the last one for like, I don't know, months, 6 months, maybe 5 months without actual live basketball to talk about. So I'm just like, get you excited, because I know it takes a lot to get you excited, Lou. That's for sure.
Well, no, I think to open the rafters up to other people right now is going to be a blessing. But I'm excited. It is crazy. And I think, though, even though we won't have live basketball, we'll kind of finish off our preview and recap and everything, but excited to see in a few weeks live basketball go.
Yeah, I mean, so our exhibition, I think, is against, is it like UW? Who is it against? I don't even know. It's a D2 school. It is on the website. Lou's going to look it up. But yeah, so that's going to be November 3rd, and then opening night is November 9th. A couple weeknight games. But yeah, I mean, it's right around the corner. You know, I'm glad
UW Stout.
Ooh, I was right. It was a UW school. Okay, yeah. UW Stout. Interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm sure, you know, there's going to be lots of fans there, I would imagine, or at least see some season ticket holders. I'll be there. We'll be there watching. I'm sure it'll be another thing where they're trying out some stuff. So kind of just temper your expectations for that one at least. But the next thing I want to talk about before we get into the season previews is the Missouri Valley Conference
preseason,
like the media day that came out. So just to run down the list of like who was predicted or projected top 10, it goes Drake number one, Loyola number two, Northern Iowa three, Missouri State, Southern Illinois, Bradley, Valpo at seven, Evansville, Indiana State at nine, and then Illinois State rounding out the 10. For me, I mean, I was a little surprised, I guess. I really do think Loyola deserves to be number one, but, you know, obviously biased here. Drake is great. Don't get me wrong. Drake is a great team. I thought it would just be a little closer. Not that it's super far apart, but there is a sizable gap between one and two, and then another sizable gap between four and five, between Missouri State and Southern. So Loyola super tight with Northern Iowa there, between two and three. The top three teams got first place votes. Missouri State did not receive any. And then going on to the preseason teams, the first team, AJ Green, Tyreek Key, Isaiah Mosley, Roman Penn, and Gage Prim. Second team, Marcus Domask, Tank Hemphill, Ben Kricke, Austin Fife, Lucas Williamson. Third team, Shamar Givens, Jayshon Henry, Lance Jones, Rink Mast, and Braden Norris. So, Lou, I don't know, wherever you want to start. Surprises, good things, bad things, whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah, I think the biggest surprise nearly for me was seeing Southern. I really think, though I did connect with them, I also had them being fifth. So that was a big surprise for me.
You thought they might be lower?
I thought they might be lower, yeah. Just for the fact that Marcus Domas has come back from injury.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, he's the real reason that team can do really well. But again, when guys are healthy, like we saw toward the end of the season, they can really make a team compete. So I think that was the biggest thing for me. Evansville, I think we were almost spot on. I think you and I nearly for the team rankings, except for I did have Drake first, and Loyola second, only for the fact that they're returning pretty much every single person and hopefully healthy. I think when you lose a Missouri Valley Player of the Year, that's what probably makes us. Granted, I did see, I was surprised that you and I even got first place votes. I really don't think they are going to really receive it this early. I think that's where we should have received their first place votes, and then that makes it kind of closer for me to understand. But that was another big surprise. You and I got, what I believe, six there. So kind of a surprise there. Totally get it, though. They have an MVC Valley Player of the Year on their roster, though he is coming back from health issues. And they also don't really have that many other guys, in my opinion. They have him, and he can probably work well with them. But there's a few other missing pieces, I think, to become a first-place team. But who knows? Maybe he can just go off and drop 40 a game. So, but yeah, interesting to see Missouri State no first-place votes. Yeah. Thought they potentially might with their roster. But again, I think Huey's bringing it up, and it's a great point. Missouri State always in the beginning of the season, Pat has a packed roster. Transfers are up there. Cage Prim, I have to say, yeah, he's probably one of the best players they've had recently. A surprise from, like, very caliber of Elise Johnson from a few years ago, now in the Bulls. So same Missouri State, I think they have a good power forward, but they, for some reason, can't finish throughout the rest of the season. So really interesting there. Thought Valpo would be higher, but really, really everything else just kind of the same. Bradley always wins, so the middle of the pack. And then the rest of the teams, Illinois State, trash, are there at the bottom, which totally makes sense. Indiana State, new team, and Evansville kind of still recovering as a new team. So a mix of things.
Yeah, the one thing I have to ask you about, so on your prediction, your projections, you had one Ahir Uglak on the first team. So
We're getting into first.
I just that's the only one. I just want you to discuss that. Like, what made you pick him there?
Yeah. So if we're looking at the first team and everything,
besides that,
no, really, to be honest, I think Ahir Uglak should have a great year. I really do think he's going to have a great year because sole fact of I think he's going to take the step up. Mm-hmm. I really do think Lucas is second team caliber. Mm-hmm. I just think, in my opinion, his defense is his golden key, and I think they also vote on offense more than defense, which they is BS.
Do, yeah.
So that's why you have Penn there. That's David Green there. So I like it here, and I think he'll have offense. And then his defense is pretty good. If you remember the tournament, he can step up on defense. So I really think with just an average defense from him, but an above-average offensive, I can see him on the first team. But who knows? Gotcha. I don't know. Now looking at the box score and stuff, that might have changed. But I'm going to commit to it because I put it in writing, and that's what I'm going to do.
No, I like it. I mean, I think that's a fun kind of under-the-radar thing. And we got reports right when he transferred that he was, like, the best offensive player that Loyola's ever seen.
That's absolutely.
So, you know, he can – the potential's there for sure. If he can hit threes, I think everything opens up for him, really.
Absolutely,
like,
yeah.
Post-ups, driving to the basket, pick and roll, whatever.
Yeah. Well, then for you, though, if speaking of the three
yeah.
and on the third team, Braden Norris.
Yeah, that's kind of
did that
one.
Surprise you, catch yeah. you off guard? It did, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think they probably gave it to him for a little bit of his postseason
That's
games.
A very good point, no, yeah.
It's like, what have you done for me lately? And Braden was huge for Loyola, both in Arch Madness and in March Madness. Whereas someone like Marquise Kennedy, who has actually been on the third team before, and was all bench and was sixth man of the year, like that's who I thought would slot in there. But I get it, I understand it. I just I don't know. I'm interested to see how it goes. Braden's gonna have the opportunity, that's for sure. Braden, you know, if it's anything like last year, Braden's gonna be playing 30, 35 minutes, you know, on some days. So he'll get the opportunity, that's for sure. But yeah, just moving on from there, we'll talk more about it for the Loyola preview. And now we'll talk about the two more teams that we have to preview, which is the first, let's start with Northern Iowa. We kind of talked about it just a little bit now because AJ Green is really what makes this team go. And he was out for almost the whole season last year, which is probably why they didn't play all that well. Or at least one of the few reasons. AJ Green, 6'4", obviously. He is one of the best guards in all of college basketball. He was actually on a list, and now I'll have to find that while Lou talks in a minute here. But he was on a national ranking for, I think he was like top 7 or top 8. He's just going to be an outstanding player for them. But You can talk about AJ Green if you want, Lou, but who else for Northern Iowa is going
to
be good?
Northern Iowa, it's going to have to be an interesting mix with Bowen Bourne. Mm-hmm. Bowen Bourne was the other point guard who, in my opinion, found the minutes, and he averaged 11.2. So that's a really interesting thing. I think that is going to be key to strengthening their bench. So I don't think they're going to start both of the point guards just because it makes no sense with AJ Green commanding the ball. I would say Bowen is a sophomore. He's young. He was a freshman last year. I would say, hey, you're the leader of the second team. We need still a strong team to be able to score up against Loyola's second team, up against Drake. Drake's got a big depth, up against Missouri State. So when you get these competitions of Missouri Valley play with teams who have big depth in their bench, that's where I think Bowen Bourne is going to be key. And then I think, again, Austin Fife knows what he's doing. The man's been around. I also feel he's another name that's been around for years. Trey Burhau and Tywin Pickford. These are guys who are seasoned Valley players. I just think they haven't really ever come into like the star. Maybe definitely Austin Fife. But with AJ Green, I think AJ just makes them better. So that's why I think he just nearly runs the team there. And I think you have more on AJ there.
Yeah, yeah. So it's an Athletic article. And it's just talking about the 20 best guards in all of college basketball. And AJ Green's number 7. So super big honor. I mean, you know, you got players like Johnny Juzang from UCLA. I don't know. There's someone from BYU. I don't know his name. But Gonzaga guards, Purdue guards. I think it's Ivy, right?
Yeah, Jaden Ivy. Yeah.
Jaden Ivy, who is honestly should be on a lot. I think he's going to be a tremendous player for them, for Purdue this year. But, yeah, AJ Green, number 7. Super big honor. And it's fun. I mean, look, I'm jealous, right? Like, I wish he was on our team. And it's a rivalry, but at the same time, we love seeing Valley players get national recognition for them. Because, I mean, he really, I think he's got a shot, a decent shot to make it to the NBA. So, hopefully hopefully he's a healthy year. That's all I'm hoping for. He can play all the games, and we can beat him every time we play him. So, that's kind of what I got. I don't know. I know you were looking at three-man weave a little bit. I mean, I do think Austin Fife is going to be good for them. I think he really benefits from AJ Green. Austin Fife is a very good role player for them. He had some battles with Krutwig. He can stretch the floor a little bit. He can shoot a little bit. He's a good rebounder. He puts his body on the ground. You know, he's diving for loose balls. So I do think Austin Fife has a chance to be a good player, but it really is dependent on AJ Green. How he sets up the whole offense. So we'll have to see. Like you said, Bowen Bourne, great for the bench. I know Antoine Kimmins has been there for a bit. And other than that, I mean, we're going to have to see what their bench can do for them. It's a lot of – their whole team is returning. They literally, like, lost almost – I don't think they lost anyone. That was, like, important. And they didn't really have any newcomers because they kept their whole team. So it's just going to be interesting to see, like, sometimes – even though you keep everyone, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be better in the next year. So we'll have to see. You good on Northern Iowa?
Yeah, I think one thing I want to say is this a potential three-bid Valley? But that was just an article I saw, three men we've noted. I don't think so, but something to put out there with you and I if they have a good year.
Yeah.
And recognition from AJ Green. Like you said, I love recognition from the nation helps just make the Valley stronger, so I agreed.
Three-bid Valley, there have to be a lot of non-conference wins, like big wins from all three teams.
Exactly.
So, so going from there, we're gonna talk about Drake, who did come in second, and then came in second, and then went to March Madness, and they did win a game. They won a first four game in March Madness, so congratulations to them. Good season, definitely riddled with some injuries, especially at the end. They lost just Joe Yesufu to Kansas. But they get in one of the top recruits in the country, in Tucker DeVries, who is the son, right?
Of his Dan DeVries, yep.
Yeah, Darren DeVries, the coach there, head coach. Yeah, predicted first by the media at in Media Day for Missouri Valley Conference. They were predicted first by Three Man Weave as well. They are a super solid team. They play great defense. They get scoring in a lot of different ways. Roman Penn is probably the best point guard in the Valley. Just a great overall facilitator, shooter. Super scrappy on defense. And yeah, they return almost everyone. And they're going to be a great team this year. I'm excited to see our games against them. For those who don't remember, last year, when we were playing due to COVID restrictions, like, you either played both game, well, most of the games were either both at one place or both at the opponent's place. So Loyola played Drake twice at Drake on back-to-back nights, or maybe there was one day in between. And they killed him. Loyola killed Drake the first game. Wasn't even close. I think it was like 23, 25 point victory. And it was a little chippy at the end. And then going into game two, it was much closer. It was tight the whole game. And did it go to overtime? I don't think it did. No, it just, Loyola ended up losing by, I think, one.
Yep.
And it got real chippy at the end. Like, you could tell those guys didn't want anything to do with each other. Well, they wanted to throw down, but they didn't want to. I don't know. It was bad. You could tell something. Someone said something. Someone, you know, and said the other person said something back. So I think these games, it's pretty much the whole team, you know, minus Krutwig for Loyola and Yesufu for Drake. It's pretty much the same guys. They will definitely remember both ways. And I hope the fans remember, because I hope they are welcomed to Gentile Arena with a chorus of boos. Every time Roman Penn touches the ball, I want him to just hear it from us. Respectfully, of course. But yeah, that just kind of sets up for what Drake did last year. Lou, I don't know if you want to talk about three-man weave or something else, but just how they look this year and what maybe is different.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing around Drake is it's the same core team. Mm-hmm. Yeah, now Joseph Yesufu gone to Kansas, big name, but Yesufu really didn't click off until the end, and that's why I think he got the glamour of the NCAA tournament and big time and definitely athletic, so congrats to him. But the core of what made this team a rival for Loyola, be the 1-2, is still the same core of the team. Now throw on a top 100 recruit, and lo and behold, he's the coach's son, so I don't think there's going to be any trouble with connecting with the coach's son. Or at least the coach connected with them. So I think that's going to work out. So really just intrigued overall. Do I think that they're going to lose anything? Not really. What I think they're going to do is it's really just going to be a matter of what his rotation is going to look like. Who, and I think that's what Three Man Weave nearly talks about, is like they talk about what does a full year look like for some of these people after injuries last year, especially like Darnell Brody is a name that I think last year he didn't really have that high of a ceiling because he was surrounded by so many other guys, and that could be a name that pops off. So names that really weren't the front of the team last year, but names that I do think can play. Now, do I think Tucker DeVries is going to start? No. Do I think I could see him potentially just being a good guy for the team while all five starters are seniors? So do I see his dad being like, hey, you're going to be the leader of the team the next 3 years? Yeah. So he might just come in and be off the bench. I don't know. So I think that's going to be the biggest question mark, though. But again, I think they're really in a good position with the same crew. They're running the same plays that they had last year. So that's why I think you'll see them being the one. But I do think they're a team that can be beat because we beat them and we know how to beat them. So that's another plus there for us. So excited, though, to see a strong Valley team. And I do think they are easily a benefit to making the Valley a two-bid conference.
Yeah, I mean, I do think with Drake and Loyola, like, those are, I think it's a good bet, especially after happening last year. You know, there's that, like, momentum. People know both stories now. And, you know, when it gets down to Selection Sunday, you can talk about, oh, these teams are pretty much the same as, you know, minus Yesufu, minus Krutwig, whatever. So, yeah, I do think Two-Bid Valley is, like, alive and well. And should even get better next year when we welcome Belmont. But that's not talking about Drake. So Drake, yeah, we mentioned a little bit, but Roman Penn and Tank Hemphill both got injured last year. Tank did come back like at the end, but he was not really himself. Roman Penn, on the other hand, was out for the year, or at least like the last month or whatever. Like you mentioned, lots of seniors, and then Tucker DeVries. And so for them, it's like, oh, well, this is kind of their last go at it, right? And it actually kind of reminds me of after our Final Four year when we had multiple seniors like Clay, Marcus, right? No, you're right.
Yeah.
No, I'm wrong.
But I do like the comparison. Because if you think about it, so this is a lot of the Drake team that made the run, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
A lot of the guys that were still came back, you had Lucas, you had Cam, you had Clay, you had Marcus, mm-hmm. right? So you had guys who just made a run, and they're like, hey, we want to make this again.
Yeah.
And then you also had a brand new power forward that had so much talk coming from New Mexico State. So you're like, oh, very excited. So, yeah, and we made the run. We made an NIT bid.
Yeah.
And we were a team that we were one in the valley. That's what you do to get an NIT bid.
Yeah.
Did we choke in the tournament? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, again, we can't really say. So I do think that is a fair comparison in this state. Yeah. This is a, hey, we want to come back because we want to go further.
Right.
They scrapped their way in. They won a first four game. Big time for them. I think even them getting the first four was a huge step in the fact that the Valley got a consideration there. Mm. And then them winning is like, yeah, they belong there. So congrats to them. But I do think the fact that they're so heavy on their starters, and then it's like, whoa, Tucker DeVries. Maybe I'm blind to the fact that maybe it will be someone else who's going to step up. But I am intrigued to see, okay, what does Drake have after their starting five?
Right.
That's not Tucker. That's the one thing. And again, everyone might talk Tucker this, Tucker that, top 100 recruit, plays for his dad. But there's a whole bunch of other guys. Yes, he plays potentially Joseph Yesufu's role. But if all these five guys are healthy, though, you got no one who's really going to be playing majority. These guys will be playing majority of the minutes. So if they get tired down the stretch, that's just going to be the biggest concern of this Drake team. I think, yes, they're maybe the more seasoned starting five versus Loyola. But I think Loyola's got the better depth, so that's where it's like, okay, what do you need? What works? And that's all it's gonna fall on Darren DeVries to coach the right way. So I think that's where their potential kryptonite is the fact that it's all heavy and kind of really just put on four or five guys, and that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It's gonna be like you said, just a lot of what can Tucker DeVries do for them. So yeah, I mean that's kind of. It's kind of where we finish here with the previews for next year. We will have a full team preview for Loyola next week, next episode on the podcast. So we'll dive into like potential lineups, what we think of the conference selections, who we think is going to be key players off the bench, and just like maybe predictions of like how many minutes guys play, our starting lineup, even though I think we kind of know what our starting lineup is going to be. If anyone has any questions about Loyola, anything they want us to talk about regarding the preview for next season, make sure to send those in. You can tweet at us, you can DM us, you can email us. All those things can be found on our Twitter. Thank you all for listening. I'm glad we got a chance to break down the secret, aka not so secret, scrimmage against Wisconsin and talk about some other previews. So, Lou, any last thoughts?
Excited to hear about live basketball, even though I tried to see it. And then in a few weeks, before you know it, start of the season.
We'll be back. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget, always remember, go Blairs.